Blog Talk Radio.
Consulting in the C-Suite is our podcast. I think you know that. You've come to find us here to dig a little bit deeper into some issues revolving around HR, C-Suite management, employee training and motivation, all the great things we talk about here when we get together for our podcast. Hi, everyone. This is Jim Mitchell. And as always, Lori Husband is going to join me today. We're going to talk about the process, things that happen during a merger. She is experienced in so many aspects of bringing companies together and getting them through that process. Today we'll talk about the workforce and how to handle them and what the expectations should be. Lori, I'm always amazed every time we get together, all the benefits you bring, all the things you can share. Do you ever get tired of talking about this? It just seems to be so natural for you.
No, I really don't. But thank you for the warm welcome. I appreciate that. No, I really don't get bored of this. Not yet.
Well, I will say that every time I talk to you, there seems to be more and more aspects to it and more things we can learn, which is why I appreciate you being there. But you work in private equity. You work in the C-suite. You manage processes. And we're talking about mergers. We've looked at that many times. But, you know, that word is so funny because it sort of implies that two companies are going to come together and this great thing is going to come out of it. But really, it's not always equal. I mean, there generally tends to be one company that's going to be dominant coming out. Is that a fair assumption?
That was a really great way to say that because, you know, it is. I don't think that when you're merging, you do want things to be equal. And I have, unfortunately, heard employees say, you know, I feel like the redheaded stepchild, which, you know, it does have that feel. And in a recent merger that I was in with post-integration or post-sale integration, you do kind of get that sense. I don't know that it is always intentional. I truly believe that new owners or new buyers just want things the way they want them, and they don't really think about the impact that they're making because they're just kind of moving forward with, this is what I know, this is how I want it, this is how we've always done it, so we're just going to keep going. And they don't really take a step back and, you know, think about all these other people that they now have just acquired.
Yeah, but I assume that process of acquiring the company, it's being done for a reason because there's benefit to that. So there is value being brought to the equation. But when you look at that, and there's nothing more valuable to a company than you've told us, you know, all along than the employees. But realistically, in a merger, there's going to be, I assume, some redundancy, some changes, some eliminations. I mean, if you have a job today pre-merger, may not be there or may not be the same post-merger. Can we characterize most deals as having that aspect to it?
I would say at least 80%, yes. Unfortunately, a new buyer or new owner should really expect to lose a minimum of 10% of their staff. And because of what you had just said, whether it's duplicate roles, it could be, you know, they leave voluntarily or they leave involuntarily, but there will definitely be a shift in personnel.
Now, you have taken us through the guide you created, a written guide to how to sell your business and some of the steps that take place, and we've always emphasized that, you know, once there's a kind of an agreement in place, there's still due diligence that has to take place, and you can't outwardly talk about the deal. It's not a deal until all of that is done. How do you, as an employer, keep those good employees? You know, make sure that 10% that you might lose aren't the ones that bring the most value. You know, you can't really talk about it, but you got to make sure they don't leave. How do you do that?
Right. It's kind of tricky.
Yeah.
anybody who has gone or has been, you know, through a merger, yes, they, it's kind of hard to articulate a little bit because you think it's business as usual, but it's really not. And you're getting questions from your supervisor that maybe you've never had asked before. And the reason why is because this is, you know, you're going through due diligence. Everybody is basically, the C-suite is under a confidentiality agreement, so you can't say anything in case the deal falls through, right? So it's like a double-edged sword where you can't say anything, but your actions are saying otherwise, because people start to question, why are we having all of these different types of questions that we've never had to do before? And that's because, you know, the bank is requiring something, or, you know, your due diligence process is requiring something, and you can't really talk about it. So it's a very tricky process to manage.
And one I know that you've had to deal with, and much of your focus has always been on HR issues. As the merger starts to take shape, as word gets out, as the deal is done, now we get into the process of managing the workforce. The word is out, and, you know, suddenly a lot of lives are turned upside down, and maybe more so than they need to be. Sometimes, you know, human nature says, let's make this a bigger deal than it needs to be. Right? You know, people worry. But how and when, and just talk about communication as a priority and what needs to happen from the top down.
I like how you said that about, you know, things kind of are a little bit more than they seem, right? And I think that's funny because I think that there are some people, and I'm sure everybody who's listening to this knows one employee at least that loves drama, right? And it does. I'm not a drama fan at all. So the less drama, the better for me. But there's always that one employee that kind of has that water cooler people. They try to suck everybody into the drama and how terrible things are. And, you know, it is our job as the leadership team to mitigate that as much as possible. I think it's important to be transparent with things that are going on as much as you can't say. But it is, you know, it's difficult. It is something that has to be navigated with those people who like to put drama in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking with Lori Huspin of Valuable Resources Company. VRC-HR.com is the website where you can find out more about Lori. And I also suggest that you follow her on LinkedIn. Lori Falduto Huspin, you're going to see a lot of interesting posts, comments, articles, and things that she shares, and it's a great way to stay connected and learn as much as you can, as well as listening here to Consulting in the C-Suite, our podcast series. But, Lori, as soon as the merger takes place, employees are going to have a lot of questions, and many of them are just basic things, you know, benefits, workplace processes, you know, what do we do? What's the new procedure? How does that get handled, or how should it get handled effectively?
Well, I have seen it done very well, and I have seen it communicated not so well. Yes. When you're prepared and the C-suite takes into consideration how much impact they are making on somebody's life, it's a lot better. And again, realize I'm talking to companies that have less than 100 employees. So it's not like we're dealing with 5,000 employees and we have to send out a memo. Mm-hmm. I've seen it been done through an email when you don't even know these people. You don't really know enough about what their benefits are. And now all of a sudden you're trying to take things away without having a conversation. In my experience, I would prefer to have a difficult conversation with those employees, because it's kind of like sending somebody, you know, terminating somebody over the phone. It's very awkward. It's, you know, it's something that you just want to be able to answer their questions as to why is this happening? How is this happening? Really have it strategically thought out. Is it happening, you know, day one? Is it happening in 6 months from now? Maybe you have a whole year to work through. I've seen somebody take away PTO days via email, and I just think it's really disrespectful to not have a difficult conversation. And when you have those difficult conversations, employees really learn to trust you a little bit more, because right now they don't trust you at all. Not at all. Yeah. So just yeah. Something to think about. Yeah.
And you mentioned a time frame there. Can you estimate in a merger, let's again focus on the company type you mentioned, at 100 employees, a couple of companies come together, new entity is formed. What's the goal for how long before things are just, let's call it normal again? Are we talking it's going to take 90 days or 6 months, or can you estimate?
I think it depends on how well prepared the C-suite and the new owner is, right? I've seen a little bit of both. I've seen things change within the first 90 days. Other new owners will take 6 months, maybe a year, because what they want to do is learn all the processes, what's working, what's not working, what needs to be, what's duplicated, what needs to be implemented, what needs to be taken away. So when you make those very quick decisions in that first 90 days, that's where you're uprooting, that chaos starting,
sure.
The drama starts, right? You want to have, I would say, give it 6 months. Learn what you're doing first. Learn who is doing what. Learn their names. Learn everybody's names first,
mm-hmm.
right, before you start making a bunch of changes. And realize, what does the business need to maintain? What does it need to maintain your customers before you start making really dramatic changes?
And I know that in the many podcasts we've done together, I'm gonna get you with this, but frequently your answer begins with "it depends." So I know where I'm going here, but I have a good friend whose company recently merged. Two companies did very similar things. They were familiar with each other, both family businesses, and they said, "It makes more sense. Let's get together." And they did the things you talked about, get to know one another, let the employees, become acquainted. That's one thing. Private equity, an investor comes in knowing that they want to flip a business in a year or two, different approach. But you used a word a couple of minutes ago, trust. I assume it's different in both of those cases. But either way, what should management do to build employee trust after a merger?
I think in my experience, the thing that I would recommend the most in how you build trust is your actions really have to match your words. Because when you're saying something because you think employees want to hear this, and then your actions say something completely different. Like, for example, we had a new owner that said, he was getting rid of people because they had dual positions or whatever the reason was, and he would, explain that, nobody else is getting affected right now. And then 2 weeks later, somebody else would be let go. So people don't want to hear the words. They want to watch your actions. And that's the first thing of earning somebody's trust.
A lot that we need to talk about yet. And as always, there's more questions. Your approach, I know, is just get on the phone. Let's talk and get acquainted. So if someone wants to talk to you about your role, how you can help their company, or just ask some questions, where can they get a hold of you, Lori?
They can call me, 847-401-0014. I also love the idea of connecting on LinkedIn. I have written more articles lately on LinkedIn, and we do have a really great website, too, that explains a little bit more about what we do.
Yeah, and I encourage people to take a look at your guide to selling a business. Very helpful. We did a couple of podcasts on that as well, and very informative and available, so check that out. All right, Lori Husband with us each conversation here in Consulting in the C-Suite. Thanks so much, Lori, for taking the time. Really, really enjoyed the conversation. And, of course, I encourage everyone to follow Lori again, LinkedIn or vrc-hr.com. Thanks so much for listening.